for another opportunity to be in your house this evening. Pray, God, you'll bless the meeting. God, you'll bless the service, the preaching. What will take place here tonight, Father, may be something to glorify and honor you with. I pray, God, just speak to hearts right now. Would you open our hearts and minds? And Father, right now, at this very moment, may we already say yes to God. Before we ever hear what it is you want us to say yes to, may we already say yes. Because we love you, we trust you. I pray, Father, you help me tonight as I stand and preach. I dare not stand here by myself. I need that help. And I pray, God, I allow you to help me. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Take the Word of God, if you will, and turn with me to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. And it's an amazing story here in Genesis chapter 18 about Abraham. You could turn to Genesis chapter 19 and read the story about Lot. How they was kin. How they worked together. How they was family. And how they took different paths. Lot chose the well-watered plains of Jordan. He chose with eyesight. He chose by what he saw. Us tonight as Christians, we're people of faith. We walk by faith. We work by faith. We live by faith. We don't have physical eyesight upon the world, but a spiritual mindset upon God. And here tonight, chapter 18 of Genesis, it's a story about Abraham and how he was dwelling there in memory. And we'll see how there's three people come. There's three angelic beings come. I believe one of them was the pre-incarnate Christ. You say, why do you believe that? Because in Genesis chapter 19, only two showed up for Lot. And my friend, we know Christ can't be around sin. And so he couldn't go to Sodom and Gomorrah. He couldn't go to a wicked place. But here we see Abraham. Look with me, if you will, Genesis chapter 18. And let's read verse 1 through 8 together. The Bible says, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself towards the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, from therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hasted unto the tent, unto Sarah, and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make three cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto the young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. I want to draw your attention to two words we have here in these few verses together. In verse 3, the Bible says the last two words, thy servant. Here, Abraham, he called himself a servant. And look also with me, if you will. I believe it's in another verse he said that. Let me find it for you. In verse 5, the Bible said, I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. From therefore ye are come to your servant. Here, Abraham was a man of God. Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees upon God's command and went to a country he knew not of. The Bible says in Hebrews he was looking for a city whose foundation and maker was God. He was trying to obey the Lord's command. Abraham was a man that was rich in cattle, rich in servant, rich in money. And we know Lot followed him, and Lot increased. I believe Lot increased because he was following the man of God, because he was after the man of God. But here, Abraham considered himself a servant to the Lord. These three men, and I believe the middle one was the pre-incarnate Christ. Abraham called him Lord. He said, Lord, let thy servant please you. Lord, let thy servant do for you. Abraham called himself a servant. I want to try to, my friend, preach tonight by God's help, the perfect servant. What does it do? What does it make? What does it have to happen to be a perfect servant? I don't know about you, beloved, but I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven. I'm glad heaven's my home. My sins is gone. But I want to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was talking to someone at the church, and they said the church of the Latter-day Saints, they sent two people to my house to talk to me. And she was interesting about them. And she said the very next day, some Jehovah's Witnesses come to my house to talk to me about their false religion, about their cults. Hey, my friend, I'm glad I'm serving the true living God, and I want to be a perfect servant tonight, my friend. I want to have a perfect servant's heart. We know some Kidwells there. The last name is Kidwell. And she sings a song about, God, give me a servant's heart. And my friend, that's not an easy thing to contain. It's not an easy thing to have. It's not an easy thing to achieve to have a servant's heart. And my friend, we'll find here just a few things that we need to have in our life to be a perfect servant. And these things tonight will do you no bit of good. They'll just be vain, just be vanity, unless you're willing to be a perfect servant. Unless you're willing to go all out, all guns for God, and say, hey, sink, swim, or drown, get fat or die skinny, we're going to go on for Jesus Christ. What does it take to be a perfect servant? It says here, if you would, in verse 2, the Bible says, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself towards the ground. Here, Abraham was sitting in his tent door. I believe he was minding his own business. He saw these three men coming to him. He realized the middle one was the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe, my friend, he realized he was the Lord. And the Bible says that Abraham ran to meet them. Hey, my friend, you say, what does it cost to be a perfect servant? I believe it's going to cost us some love. Abraham ran to meet the Lord because he loved him. The Bible says you can't serve two masters. Either you hate the one and despise the other. Either you cling to the one or you reject the other. You can't serve God and mammon. Hey, my friend, you have to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your might, with all your being. To be God's perfect servant, you have to love the Lord. And may I add tonight, my friend, when I say perfect, I don't mean sinless. Because we've not arrived. We all have a sinful character. We all have a sinful flesh. Hey, my friend and I, we've all got sin dwelling in our mortal bodies. But thank God, my friend, when you get saved, he circumcised the old heart from the new heart. He gives you a new heart. That new heart beats for Jesus Christ. And you can be a servant of God tonight with a perfect heart in the Lord. And my friend, to be a perfect servant, you have to love the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible even says, God says, Jesus Christ says, he said, you cannot be my disciple unless you hate your mother and hate your father and hate your wife and hate your husband and hate your children also. He says, in other words, I want your love for me and your love for someone else. I want your love for someone else to look like hate compared to the way you love me. Now, I'm not telling anyone to leave here and hate your mama. I'm not going to tell you to leave here and hate your daddy or to hate your wife or to hate your husbands or to hate your children. I'm going to tell you tonight, my friend, when you leave this church, we should be more in love with Jesus Christ than anybody and anything in this world. We should love him more than anything else. The Bible says he should have the preeminence. That's not one of the first places, but that's the first and only place in your life. He's not on a long list. I've got a list of the things I'm going to preach tonight. He's not on a list of saying, this is what I love tonight. I love Jesus, and I love my family, and I love this, and I love that, I love the other. We have a list tonight, and we take the list, and we ball it up and throw it away, and say, God, you're not on some list, but you have in my heart, you have the rightful place, and I love you with every beat I have. What's going to happen? Make you to be a perfect servant. You have to fall in love with Jesus. You just simply have to fall in love with Jesus. You think about what he's done for us, folks. How he gave his son. How Jesus Christ died so you could be set free, so you could go to heaven. Think about what Jesus Christ done for us. The Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. You think about what Jesus Christ done. How, my friend, he took sin upon him. How he took our sin upon him. How he died for us. Hey, my friend, if you don't love Jesus Christ for nothing else, you should love him tonight because he saved your unworthy soul tonight. Because he saved you from a life of hell. He saved you from something that you do deserve, my friend. The reason you should love Jesus Christ tonight is because he laid down his life that you can have life, my friend. Here the Bible says Abraham ran to meet the Lord. But we got a bunch of people come to church, and I've said this before, it seems like they believe in drag racing. Boy, they drag in and race out. They just drag in. Oh no, we're going again. We're going to sit in church for about 2 or 3 hours, and boy, chicken's going to be done at 12, but we ain't going to get out until 12, 15, 12, 20, and we got to shake hands, and by the time we go home, Brother Jeff, the chicken's going to be cold, the biscuit's going to be hard, and it's just going to be a terrible day. Hey, my friend, we ought to fall in love with Jesus and just throw the chicken out the window, and my friend, put a hole in your biscuit and fill it up with syrup and come on to church and just fall in love with Jesus Christ tonight. Hey, the Bible says Abraham ran to meet the Lord. Hey, it'd be good if we just run to church every once in a while. Hey, it'd be good. We just say, hey, we don't have time to be late. We don't have time to be fashionable. Hey, we got to come to church. Hey, we're going to be on time. We're going to have our Bibles. We're going to sing in the choir. We're going to lift our voices to God. And they're going to ask you why. And you say, just simply, because I love Jesus Christ. Pass out tracts tomorrow. But I'm going to read my Bible tomorrow. I'm going to pray tomorrow. I'm going to go visit tomorrow. I'm going to work for the Lord tomorrow. I'm going to do some things tomorrow for God. You say, why? Not because of what He gives me and does for me, but because I love Him and because He loves me. The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. My friend, if you're going to be a perfect servant, if you want to be a perfect servant, now you have to love the Lord. Notice what else the Bible says here in verse 4. The Bible says, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Here Abraham says, Lord, come on and sit down for a little while and let me go fetch some water for you and let me come back and wash your feet. What is he saying here? Hey, my friend, in order to be a perfect servant, I believe you've got to be humble enough to do the small things that's required. To do the small things. The other day we was having a youth day and some boy come up to Brother Robert and said, we've got a problem. Hey, so well, go tell a preacher about it. He was playing a little joke on me. And Brother Jeff, he come up to me. He said, preacher, he said, we got a problem. He said it just this way. He said, the water's overflowed in the commode, and it's all in your floor. What? Got to go. Hey, we went in there and plunged that commode. You say, did you call somebody? Did you call the deacon? Did you call the trustees? No. I ran in there and grabbed the plunger, boy, and plunged that water. Splashing all up on me. Getting all on my hands, all on my clothes, all in my socks and shoes. I plunged the water until it drained down and ran and grabbed a mop. And Brother Robert took the mop and started swabbing the deck to pick up the water. Hey, my friend, the pastor of the church is not scared to get his hands dirty. Hey, my friend, to be a perfect servant, you have to humble yourself down and do the small things that's required before God's going to trust you with the big things in the world. Amen. Here, Abraham said, Lord, but I'm a servant. He said, Lord, let me just run and get some water and wash your feet. Will you be willing to wash his feet tonight? Will you be willing tonight to wash the Lord Jesus Christ's feet? You say, of course, preacher. Hey, but would you be willing to do the small things? Would you be willing to help vacuum the floor and cut the grass and sweep out the cobwebs? Would you be willing to do little things as you go out in the parking lot and you find a little piece of trash on God's land, on God's property? Would you be willing, my friend, just to take about 3 seconds and bend down and pick it up and put it in your pocket and take it home and throw it away? Here, Abraham, to be a perfect servant, he had to humble himself down and do the small things that nobody else wants to do. That's what we need. I'm the pastor of church tonight, but I'm no better than you are when it comes to doing God's work. And you're no better than me. We all ought to pitch in. This grass cutting season coming up is God's grass. Not mine, not yours, but the Lord's. This is God's church. You know, we need help. We need help cleaning. We need help cutting. We need laborers. We need more workers. We're doing it for the Lord, not for each other, but for the Lord. Abraham wanted to be a perfect servant. So with love, he ran to meet the Lord. With humility, he washed his feet. Look here, if you would, in verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your heart. After that you shall pass on, and therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do, as thou hast said. And Abraham hasted unto the tent, unto Sarah, and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal kneaded, and make cakes upon the hearth. My friend, the Bible speaks also about a cake, or about bread. Hey, my friend, the bread represents for us tonight, it represents fellowship. In order to be a perfect servant tonight of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to have fellowship with Him. You say, preacher, what does fellowship consist of? It consists of, I believe, about 3 things. I believe it consists of reading your Bible daily. Talked to a young man. Got saved the other Tuesday night. He said, "Preacher, I tell you," well, he called my wife by name. He said, "I tell you how I know I'm saved." He said, "It hurts me when I don't read my Bible every day." Praise God for that.